Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 83. I sound like Howard Cosell, and now I'm dating myself because people don't. If you're like under, what, 97? I don't even. If you're under 30, you don't know who Howard Cosell is. Under 40? I don't know. I don't even know. But Howard Cosell was a famous sports announcer that transcended sports. He was a transcendental meditation. He was with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Another reference that dates me. Jeez. What am I doing? Why don't I just start talking like this? All right, I'm sorry. Hello, folks. It's Al Berman here. Welcome to episode 83 of Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. I don't think I normally, do I normally say the name of the show in front? I'm not sure. I don't know. I forget. It's very hot out there. I went out and exercised. Neighbors were asking me, why are you exercising in the heat? And I said, because I want to, and it feels good. And but maybe it dehydrated my brain a little bit. I'm not sure. I felt like I've been hydrating. And I feel like that I'm hydrating as much as I can hydrate. I'm going to keep talking like this until I can. I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, but it's we're at the end of summer, the end of summer is coming here, and it's getting hotter and hotter. And they're saying that there could be a some kind of heat alert during the week. You know, when they tell you don't do anything. Whatever. You know what? I say whatever. Whatever they want, whatever the heat, if it's going to be hot, fine. We'll freaking deal with it. I've had the air conditioner on constantly, consistently, that I think it's messing up my sinuses. But I'd rather have messed up sinuses and be comfortable in the air conditioner than have incredible sinuses and be sweltering in the heat. Something like that. What's going on? Yeah, I don't normally talk about stuff in the news, but, you know, we got this thing with Syria. Pending. Well, you know, I don't believe anything anymore when it comes to government stuff like this because, well, I saw an interview with General Wesley Clark, retired general, very prestigious general, and he said he saw a memo right after 9/11 that said that, I don't know who put it out, but, you know, one of the, you know, the top big, the muckety-mucks that do this, that control these kind of things, you know, had plans to go into seven countries in the next 5 years from that time. And Syria was one of them. Iraq, Iran, Syria, whatever. It's just like, you know, I don't know what this country is doing. I don't know why we feel like we need to police the world and we're gonna like, who's the real terrorist here? We're gonna start dropping bombs? You know, I mean, the thing is, I hate to say it, folks, know your history, but These kind of empires, they don't last. You know, you don't want an empire. You just want to be, you want to be cool. If you have an empire, you want to have a kind of a, like a chill empire. You want to have the kind of empire, you know, like we used to have when people used to, you know, come give us your wretched, your horrid, your, you know, that kind of thing. Not where we're going around and we got like, oh, you use chemical weapons on your people. Oh, well, we're going to friggin', we'll show you, we're going to kill some other people. We'll show you the right way to kill people with bombs. So, you know, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't believe any of the political parties, and I feel and I fear that I'm detaching from all this, and I don't fear it so much. I feel like maybe, like, I was just listening to an interview with George Carlin. I know he you know, not to compare myself to George Carlin in any way, shape, or form. But he talked about at one point he just detached from the whole thing and was just a spectator on the whole scene in a way, in terms of political stuff. And he didn't even vote. And I don't know if I want to get that cynical, but I find myself moving in that direction, and I don't know what else to do. So I guess I could move into the cynical direction for a while, and I could always change my mind and come back into another thing. But I just, I'm not thrilled. And Obama wants to go to Congress, have them decide about, you know, take it to them about bombing Syria, but we have to wait till they get back from vacation. Okay, we'll let you know we're going to bomb everybody, but first I have to go. We're going down to the buffet, and then we're going to the early show. We're having dinner, and then we're going to the early show, and then we're going to the midnight buffet, and there's a late show, and then when we come back, we'll decide about the bombing. It's just absurd. Freaking absurd. Come on, government folks. Come on, people of the earth, world. I want just to be joyful and happy and free and, you know, be prosperous and abundant and just, you know, I don't need to bomb anybody. I don't need to bomb in my comedy shows. No, sometimes, actually you do. That's the way you learn. That's the way you learn to become a great comedian. See how I take the term bombing? That's another thing, I'm paranoid. Seeing the word bombing. I mean, you know, with all the friggin' NSA going on, somebody's going to think that I'm a terrorist. They're going to accuse me of being a terrorist at some point. But bombing is a term, is a comedic term for when a comedian does not do well. Okay, NSA, if you're listening in? And also, bombing is what you're thinking of doing to Syria. Not you, NSA, whoever. Oh, God. All right, enough of that. All right, it's been an interesting week. I've gone to it's funny. I'm going to Ralph's supermarket more and more. It's becoming, it's kind of becoming my go-to market. Is it becoming my go-to market? I don't know. I shouldn't say that because I go Ralph's. I go to Whole Foods. I haven't been to Trader Joe's lately. I'm going to start moving in with the Trader Joe's. I'm going to start moving them in, easing them in. I got to ease Trader Joe's in. But I've been going to Ralph's, and, Ralph's is really trying hard to step up their game. They really are. But there's some things they need to do, like at the salad bar. They've stepped up the salad bar. Before, the salad bar wasn't all that good, and now it's pretty decent. But what they need to do is if they're going to use plastic containers to put the salad in, then do what my former go-to market, Gougers, I call them Gougers, because they gouge you, but they would, you know, they had to, you know, good solid plastic, so it wasn't hard to fit the top on. But the ones at Ralph's are just so cheap, and, you know, I have trouble sometimes putting them on. Sometimes I feel like a little kid. I got to get the ladies behind the guys behind in the deli counter to help me out. And there's such nice people behind a deli counter. You see these people, they work so hard. You know they're making very, very little money. You know, they're probably, who knows, they might not even be making a livable wage. That's another thing about this country. What happened to this country when people used to work and make a livable wage? Now you got, God, I'm on a high horse today. We had the fast food strike this week. I mean, come on, you got these countries making so much money and they can't, you got people that work for them, they're on food stamps. And all right, I'm sorry. I know it's not very funny, it's not comedic, but you know, maybe I'm going to become an activist like Dick Gregory. You know, he was a comedian. And then, but first I got to become a successful comedian, really successful. And then, I'm probably never going to be an activist. Because, you know, I don't know. I don't think that's my gift. My gift is to lighten up, is to be humorous in certain situations. I think I'm rambling on and on. Anyway, so I'm over at Ralph's. And like I said, they're trying to step up their game. And I'm at the deli / they got a hot food counter. So they got hot food, cold food. You know, like they can slice you some, luncheon meats type stuff, cheese. And then they got some hot foods behind there. You know, like chicken and meatballs and macaroni and blah, blah, blah. So there's like four people behind the counter. And one of them is waiting on me, and then there's one person who is another customer who's waiting, but they're not waiting on her. No one's waiting on her. And everybody is busy doing something. Somebody's slicing something. Somebody's wrapping something. Somebody's doing something else. Somebody's waiting on me. And I turn, you know, and I, you know, I look at the other customer and I go, gosh, what are they doing? They're busy. You know, it's kind of weird. And they don't take numbers. They have a number thing, but they don't use it for some reason, because I think what they're, there must be some kind of weird thing where they want to, you know, they want to get the customers agitated and get some drama going. Not the people that work there, the people that run the place go, eh, we won't use the numbers. We'll get some agitated drama going on. But I just didn't understand. And at one point, I think after I said that, or I was talking to the other customer who was waiting, then this other, one of the people behind the counter who was just sort of like rapping, and then she decided to stop what she was doing and to, you know, help the customer. Which you would think that would be your priority. But again, here's what I think. I think what's happening is that in places like that, sometimes I think the people are underappreciated that work there, and they're not being paid very well, and so they just don't care. You know, and I know what that's like. I've been in that situation before, you know, where you know you're underappreciated and you're not making that much money. So you don't really care about, you know, it's hard to have pride in your work. You know, I think that you should have pride either way. I mean, that's where I'm coming from now at this stage of the game. I think it behooves you. And then I think, you know, as you have pride in your work, you know, then you will draw to you, you know, better opportunities. You know, vibrationally, you'll have a vibrational match. Look at me getting all new age on everybody. But anyway, so then that lady, she got waited on after the other lady stopped sort of rapping whatever the heck she was doing. And then I went over to the bakery to visit this girl. It's a young girl that's, I think I talked about her. Did I talk about her? Ever. I'm wondering, have I ever talked about her? Let me see. I think I talked about her at one point. Let me see. I'm looking at my notes here. I don't know. I thought I did. I thought I mentioned her. Jeez. I'm getting confused. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes here. You know, if I'm going to talk about, you know, sometimes I get confused about if I'm repeating myself from another podcast. But I think this thing actually just happened this week, so I don't think this was on the other podcast. But I was over at, because I know I wrote out, I know what happened is I was writing, I try to write this into some sort of comedy bit, you know, that I'm getting ready, preparing myself to start doing stand-up. So I'm working on material. So I was working on this, writing some stuff about this next thing. So I might have thought I already did it, okay? Jeez, stop judging me, folks. So I'm over at the bakery. I'm talking to this this young girl. And she's, you know, she's, you know, I know I told her that I did work. You know what? Now I'm getting crazy here. Okay. I'm going to stop acting like this. I know I talked about this at some point. All right. Oh, I know what it was. I talked about her with the Harvey Keitel thing. That's right. Okay, now I'm okay. Thanks. Okay, thanks for bearing with me. So I'm over there in the bakery, and she's a really sweet girl. And we're talking. She's studying to be a court reporter. And very intelligent girl, very sweet. And so we're talking, and then this African-American gentleman, kind of, I want to say, maybe early 30s, kind of clean. Looking, you know, kind of like not dressed super sharp, but not like dressed down. Clean. He's got some bling in his ears. But I notice he's carrying like a squeegee bottle, and I recognize him as this guy that has started recently to work at the gas, not work at the gas station. He comes, he's on the gas station as a sort of wandering guy. I guess he's seems to be you know, trying to wash people's windows when they come pull up for gas, you know. And I guess he, you know, maybe he does a sort of a professional window washing job. And so he comes over, and he said, you know, and he seems to know her. She says hi, you know, he says hi to her. She says hi to him. And he goes, hey, you got any samples? you know? And she goes, yeah, yeah. And so she gives him a couple cookies. And then he goes, okay, we got that out of the way. He goes, now, let's get down to business. He goes, now, when are you not going to go out to lunch? And I'm like, whoa, look at this guy. And so she goes, well, I've already had lunch. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's cool. We can have lunch. We can have dinner. So, then he goes, you know, I know you said you got a man, but I got a woman. My woman's right out there outside the store here. You know, that doesn't matter. You know, we can have lunch. We can have dinner. And she was like, uh-huh. And then I kind of said, wow, look at you, man. You're really slick. You know, I mean, wink, wink, right? And he starts saying, yeah, man, you know, I'm pimping. And I'm thinking, like, you know, first of all, where is he planning on taking her to lunch? On the curb? Like maybe getting a hot dog from the 7-Eleven or something? I mean, who's this guy kidding? And what does he think? He's going to, like, you know, she's just going to melt and go, oh, my God, you are so slick. I am just so impressed with your smoothness and your ability to use words. You have just lassoed me into your charm, and I want to have lunch or dinner or breakfast or snacks with you. I mean, it was just like, oh, man, shut up, dude. Just go out there. You know, I've always wanted to date a man who works as an independent contractor washing windows at a gas station. That's been my big dream. So, I don't know. He split. And then I'm walking through the store, and there's a couple, and they got two different shopping carts. Two different little kids sitting in the shopping carts. One cart's got a little girl. I would say maybe she might be about two or so. It's hard for me. I can't tell kids' ages at that stage of the game. And then the other one. So the man is pushing the cart with the little girl, and the woman is pushing the cart with a little boy, and he seems to be about two. Maybe they're twins. I don't know. And the little boy is just yelling up a storm, but not in an angry kind of way, just in a kind of expressing himself. He is just yelling and just, you know, really loud, and people are looking at each other. And the thing that's weird is that the lady who's with this kid, she's not doing anything to try to control this kid. Meanwhile, the little girl, I'm assuming is a sister, she's got, like, the sweetest little demeanor. She's just sitting there like a little angel. And at one point, I passed this little kid. He was so loud. And I said, get this kid on a stage. I mean, if he's going to be this loud, I mean, listen, I'm no expert in raising kids. But come on, folks. Really? I mean, really? I mean, If I was next to this kid for a prolonged period of time with that decibel level, I would have a hard time saying, listen, either you shut him up or I'm going to shut him up, because this is ridiculous, okay? This is noise pollution, folks. So take your choice, because I'm gonna do something if you don't do something. Then I get an email from Ralph's, because I just got my Ralph's card, and I guess I put my email on there. And they wanted to know what my, what were they asking me now? They want to know my preference for my email, my email preference. Is that how they put it? They want to know, like, please confirm your Ralph's email preference. And I was just like, I don't know, how about none? How about no emails from Ralph's? How about I don't need your emails? I mean, the whole farce of the Ralph's card is like, I'm going to save money because I freaking belong to this stupid club. I mean, really? I'm in the store. Give me the break anyway. I mean, really? Do I need to have to? It's just a way to track, and then they can market stuff to me and blah, blah, blah. That way they want my email so they can say, hey, yeah, by the way, we got this, and we see that you're buying a lot of this stuff. Well, hey, guess what? It's on sale, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to find out anyway, because I'm going to be going Go in there, and I'll see what's on sale, you freaking people. Then I was over at Whole Foods the other day, and there's this place by the meat department where they have, where they keep like the rotisserie or the baked chickens, whatever. They have like a little and the chicken wings and the chicken legs, that kind of stuff, where they have them all packaged up, so you could you could serve yourself. You can just take a package. So there was like one package of like chicken wings, and I was eyeballing it, and then just this woman beat me to it. I wasn't sure I wanted it, but this woman beat me to it by like a second or 2 seconds. And so we just got there almost at the same time, and then she goes, "Oh, you know, do you want it?" I said, "You know, I'm not sure. You know, I was just, you know, checking it out. I mean, you know, if you want it, you know, take it, because you know you got there first. It's yours if you wish to have it, and or we could split it up. I don't know, but so." And she goes, "Well, I gotta go." She goes, "I'm going to Bible study, and I'm bringing some food. You know, they're bringing. You know, I guess they have a Bible study where maybe people bring potluck, and that's nice. You know, I'm not a big religion fan. I've been to Bible studies, and if, you know, and the one thing about Christian people, they like to eat. Oh, actually, so do Jewish people. So do, okay, anyway, because I've been to the Jews and the Christians. They like to, they all like to eat." Probably the Muslims like to eat too. All right, everybody likes to eat. So, so she goes. She says, "I got to go to Bible study and picking up some food." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then she was. There was like another package of, I think, chicken thighs. She goes, "Maybe I should get this too." And then this guy that she's with, it's like impatient guy. He goes, "Wait, come on, will you hurry up? Come on, hurry up. We're gonna be late." And you know, just get that chicken away. We gotta, you know, this guy's on his way to Bible study. Boy, I, you know, he's the kind of guy that thinks, you know, he's just waiting to get into heaven. And yeah, you know, I could just see him like getting. He's in line to heaven, and the line's not moving. Ah, come on, what's wrong with this line? I gotta get into heaven. You know, I love guys like that. You know, they're so spiritual. You know, I almost made a joke about it. But I didn't think he would appreciate it, you know. I thought the lady was going to invite me to come to the Bible study, you know. And but she didn't. I don't think the guy wanted me anyway. I think he was didn't want me there. He's very impatient. He's a very impatient biblical studier who wanted to go and get his chicken on. Get his chicken on. Let's see. Okay. I saw this thing. I saw a thing on the internet this week that said the troubled kids that get into trouble, kids who get in trouble with the law, eventually make good entrepreneurs. Which kind of explains why the gangs are so successful, you know, in hustling like crack and stuff like that. You know, so what's the lesson here, kids? You know, chuck the books and start getting in trouble. You know? I mean, geez. Ran to a lady I know at Gougers who's a... I want to say she's a former movie star. I would say she's probably at this point a D celebrity because she's not really, you know, doing stuff these days in the acting world. But there was a time, I'm not going to mention her name. There was a time where she probably was never an A-list actress, but she was probably like a B-list, you know, B-list actress. And she was, so she's a, you know, celebrity of sorts. And I know her, I'm not dropping any. I'm not even telling her name, so how am I dropping a name here? But it's so funny that, you know, her and I used to talk occasionally on the phone. We'd have these good conversations. And then, you know, there was nothing ever between us. And but it's like every time I run into her at Gougers, you know, I'll say hi to her. And then she's always telling me that she's got to go. She's always got to be somewhere. And it's just like, that's fine with me because I'm not trying to freaking take your time. I just like I'm overly sensitive to stuff. Comedians, artists like us, we have our radar out there. We're going to, maybe it's we're overly sensitive to stuff. Maybe we misperceive things. But it just occurred to me the other day. I just went up to her and said, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" I had nothing. It wasn't like where I was just trying to ask her a lot of questions. I just, "Hey, how you doing? Yeah, yeah. What's going on? How are you? Yeah, I'm shopping. You're shopping. We're both shopping." And then she's like, "Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go." I go, "Great, me too. See ya. See ya, former movie star. See ya, celebrity on the way out. I'm a celebrity on the way up." Or something like that. Then I went and had lunch with a friend of mine, Jason, and I hadn't seen Jason in a while. And so I go pick him up yesterday. And he's got a little boy, he's about a year and a few months old. And so before we go, he brings the kid out to show me him. And it's just so funny, like, people with their kids, you're just like, look what I made. Look what I created. And the kid is looking at me. I felt bad because I ran to the little boy and the mother, Jason's wife, like about a month or so ago at Gouger's. And I made the kid cry. I was trying to make him laugh and he cried. So, this time the kid's just looking at me. And Jason tells me he just woke up from a nap, which, kids are usually moody. I'm moody. I wake up from a nap. So, why are you bringing them out to show them, what's the point? The kid's like mad dog on me. Like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Your father's making me look at you and you look at me. So, and that was that. And last but not least, one of my neighbors, we have each other's phone number. We've never really talked on the phone, but he called me up the other day on my cell, and I saw it, and I was just like, wow. And so I answered the phone, and I was like, and I just seen him like a day or two before, and we just said hello, and, we don't have a very, close relationship. So I go, "Hey, what's up? Why, is there something up that you're calling me?" He goes, no, I'm just calling to catch up. Calling to catch up? First of all, in order for us to catch up, we'd have to be something else. Before you catch up, don't you have to be caught? Or don't you have to have, there's no reason for us to catch up. We don't have anything to catch up about. We don't have that kind of relationship where we're catching up. But anyway, I would say we were on the phone for 3 seconds when he got another call. And he said to me, "Hey, hang on." And I hung on, and the phone got disconnected. And then I never heard from him again. And that was about 2-3 days ago. So I guess we caught up as much as he needed to catch up. That's what I like to say. That's the kind of catching up I like. All right, folks, that's the end of this lovely podcast. Stay tuned. I've got a little technological happening soon where we may be going to be converting everything that will be available on every device known in the technological universe, except for extraterrestrial spaceships. But I'll let you know when that happens, and then I'll be in the iTunes store and get reviews and then get more people to listen to this thing and give me some ratings and whatever. And soon I'm going to be doing some stand-up, and when I'm out there and I have some dates I want to promote, I will let you know. Okay, until next week. Oh, and also, if you're kind of, depending on me to come out with these every Sunday, I may be changing this soon because my schedule is going to be changing. I'm not sure, so I may be a day or two off once in a while, but I'm still going to, keep up the once a week thing. So have no fear. If you're worried, email me. But don't worry. It'll still be up. And, of course, once it's up, it's there, for the duration of the internet. So until next time, next week, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.